Welcome everybody to the Slow Pitch. Welcome back. And hey, Lane, how are we doing over there?
Doing great, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what's on your mind today? I know we talked a little while back, but what's on your mind today? What's happening?
Well, a few episodes ago, Rob, we talked about CRMs, and I think I'd like to dig a little bit deeper there.
All right. So now that you bring that up, I do remember we had a little bit of a bet on the CRM system that I bet you were not going to do it. I think that's what the bet was, right?
Yeah, you bet that I would not do it. I bet that I would, and there was a beer tab involved.
That's right, beer tab. And so who owes what for the beer tab?
Well, I did actually go and set up an account with Aptivo, and so I think you lost.
Ding, damn it.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
So you set up a CRM system then?
I certainly did.
All right. So what's the problem? You said you got a problem with it. What's going on? If you set up, how can it be? What's wrong?
All right. So here's my problem is, so I have an existing billing and provisioning system. You know, it creates accounts. It does all that fun stuff. Invoicing, the billing, all that kind of fun stuff.
So kind of like after they become a client, it's more of like a system for billing, but is also ticketing and.
Yep. It'll do ticketing. It takes care of pretty much everything except your base CRM.
Interesting. Why wouldn't it take care of? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. It just doesn't. It's not, you know, there is an add-on product, you know, a third-party product add-on for it that will add CRM functionality to it, but it's not the best, shall we say. It could be adequate, but it's not the best.
Before we get too far, what would be wrong with just adding that on, even though it's not the best?
Because I want the best. But no, that's the silly short answer. There's nothing inherently wrong. I just worry that it doesn't have some of the bells and whistles that a full-blown CRM would have.
Okay. So I've been in your shoes where I analyze things and I try to overthink things. But if it does the job, that may be the easy answer. Like it may be like, all right, these already communicate. It already fixes that problem. Which is the bigger problem? A CRM system that doesn't communicate with your ticketing system or your invoicing system or all that, or having to work on figuring out a way to migrate stuff. I'm assuming it's what you'd have to do, right? Is migrate.
Ultimately, that's my big problem with a wholly separate CRM platform is, you know, I'm going to have a whole bunch of customer data there. Well, potential client data. And then when someone becomes a client, now I have to migrate them over to another platform.
Okay. So which is the bigger headache? Is a bigger headache having to do that? Or a bigger headache saying, listen, I've got a CRM system. It's not the best in the world, but it tracks key pieces of information that also automatically migrates into my new system or my ticketing system or my invoicing system. Which is more of a headache and which is more of a process that you go, I feel like it's okay to put up with. Don't think of just today. Think of fast forward 12 months, 3 years, because the likelihood of you jumping from one program to another is pretty low.
Right.
Think about that. Now you have 1,000 new CRM pieces
before the sale. And to me, the short term, it's easier just to take the little CRM plugin that can work with my, you know, my billing provisioning system. That's quick and easy. Okay, yeah, it works. But I am thinking, you know, a year, 3 years, 5 years down the road, and I don't know that it's going to be adequate. But that's also where I turn around and start thinking, okay, well, now I'm just duplicating data everywhere.
Right.
And what headaches is that going to create for me?
All right. Is the invoicing side the what did you refer to it as another term? What did you use it?
Like a billing and provisioning system.
Billing and provisioning system is very fancy words. I don't use those words very often. So a billing and provisioning system, and plus there's a lot of B's and P's, so they're just popping going on with that. Billing and provisioning system, that is going to be able to make it past the 3-year mark, do you think? Or do you think will? Okay. So that's pretty hardy. It's the CRM side. Do they know that their CRM system is weak and are they going to continue to develop that? And could you give them feedback? Are you paying for it? And will you give them feedback so they can fix that?
Yeah. It's developed by a third party separately from even the people that have the billing provisioning system. So I know they'll take some feedback, but there's no guarantee that it's really going to go anywhere. It's going to depend on how many of their clients are really using it and all that kind of fun stuff.
Sure. So. Yeah. But obviously there's a partnership there. So they kind of have an inherent reason for them to push that other company to get it up to snuff. So there might be some value there, but there may not. So, all right, right. Let's assume that it's a bigger headache to have to deal with that and migrate it later, that you don't want to use the one that's already synced up and linked up, right? And now you're going to try to evaluate a CRM system that is going to be working for you on the other side, the pre-sale side. What is it that you're struggling with that? Now, you said you looked up one of them. What do we want to talk about, what that one is? Or
yeah, I've started to sign up with Aptivo. Okay. So I mean, they have absolutely everything. And I think this is where my head started spinning a bit, is they of course, based on whatever package you get, how many apps you get, and you know, it'll do ticketing, it'll do project management, it'll do invoicing, it'll do absolutely everything if you want it to.
So billing and provisioning is still there.
Aptivo has stuff to do billing the way they want it done, but not necessarily the way, you know, so I need it done.
Yeah. I got you. So it's not a perfect fit, but it's right. Semi there. Okay. So the issue then becomes, how do I evaluate whether or not this is a good system to use, or what's the problem with it?
Yeah. Part of it is evaluating whether it's a good fit, but I always circle back to my duplication of data.
So you want to reduce the duplication piece. How does Aptivo do an export? Can you export it easily? Does it do it to Excel, or does the other one accept Excel? Do you know that answer?
I don't know the answer. I don't know how it comes out of Aptivo. I would imagine you can export somehow. Importing may not be the easiest way.
Importing from Aptivo to the other?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What are you Googling?
No, I'm looking at Aptivo's website. I'm trying to figure out if you can, based on their website descriptions, if you can export. Okay, so for those of you listening here, we just kind of went into geek mode. We kind of went into all the guts and, you know, all the insides of this a little bit. And then, of course, couldn't find what we were looking for, which I'm sure is normal, because when you're a CRM system, you don't want people to be able to export stuff easily. You don't want them to be able to jump around. So you it's there, but you got to do some searching. So finally, Lane says, let's Google this. And so we Googled it. Sure enough, you can export. Okay, so we've got an idea. You can export your stuff, your data, using Excel over. Now, I think the issue becomes, that's nice to export everything, but you're saying every time you do a sale, it's closed. Now, all of a sudden, it needs to be brought over. That data, right. You don't want to spend the time having to re-enter all that data. Correct.
Yeah, ideally it'd be great just to be able to say, okay, boom, yeah, let's go place an order and transfer that over.
Convert it to a project or a sale. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would agree. That's usually something that's very helpful. But I think my question becomes, how much time is that going to take to convert from the information in your CRM and enter that into your new invoicing and billing and procurement section?
In the grand scheme, it's not going to take but a couple of minutes. I know I overanalyze things always, and I just worry about, okay, if my client calls me and says, hey, I'm changing my phone number or my address, I update it in one place, but it's out of sync in the other, and then nothing lines up. And
yeah, listen, that's not unusual. I know to have things go perfectly, you'd have to build your own CRM, your whole system yourself, right? But then somebody else is going to say that's not what they want. So that's the beauty of CRMs, is they're very flexible. How many things do you think you can do just in the CRM side of Aptivo? Looking at it, what do you, there's like all kinds of stuff you can put in here.
Oh, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It's customizable. There's all kinds of integrations. You can, from a lead capture, there's a web to lead. So in other words, you can put a web form on your website that then converts it into a lead when they enter their information in, right? That's
right.
How I rate it. And then you can also put it in through email. So if you want to email yourself this information, I think is what they're saying, or somebody sends an email to you, you can import it and you can manually enter it. Then you can start to customize things where you have different fields. You can add fields, take away fields, have some searches, that kind of thing, and then have a conversion piece, which kind of puts it into the contacts, and from a lead converts it into an opportunity. So how often in your process do you have a lead that's been generated on your side that isn't or doesn't become an opportunity? Have you ever had, how often do you have that happen? It happens to me, but I don't know how often it happens to you.
Yeah, maybe like 25% of the time.
Yeah. And that's about right. Cause I think what happens is you get some people that put their stuff in, you can reach out, you talk to them for a few minutes. And after a little while, you're like, this person is either A, crazy, and you should never do business with them. Or B, in the initial conversation, you can tell right then and there, it's too early. They're not ready for you. And then the other reason that they become one where they're just not ready to convert to an opportunity is they don't have the funds, just based on the conversation and things that you're going through. And sometimes it takes a half an hour, hour of a conversation, but it's worth that effort. To the goal when you have a lead is to try to figure out, are they a real opportunity or is this just garbage? Because obviously garbage in, garbage out. And the more that you can weed that out before you get there, before they get converted to an opportunity, the better off you are. So I'll invest. I look at it as an investment. I'll invest an hour of a conversation with somebody before I ever make them an opportunity. I'll put them in as a lead, but then I convert them to an opportunity once I've had that conversation. Now, once I have an opportunity, once they're in that opportunity spot, now becomes a little bit more of an in-depth conversation. And more than likely, I've already gone through enough conversation with them to know that this is a pretty likely sale. So I'll leave them out of the opportunity mode until I feel like they actually have the ability to make the decision, know that they have the ability to invest in my services, and that they don't need anybody else helping them with that, and they have enough pain to go forward. If I know all of that, then I put them in as an opportunity. Before that, it's still pretty much a lead. Now, the cool part is, I don't know if this, have you been able to dig around a little bit, but when they're, you put them in as a lead, can you put them in as a hot lead or a cold lead? Have you been able to find that or see that?
I don't know.
Okay. My guess is that you can. And it could be just as simple as setting up a field. When I've done this stuff, I set up a field that is a 1 to 10 ranking. When I say 1 to 10, I mean like 10. This person is, they're legit. I don't have enough information quite yet, but I do know that I have enough information to make the decision. They're not crazy and we can continue to talk, at least that part, right? And then if I get to conversation with them and I go, this person's a little bit nuts, but they may have the funds. I just got to figure out, do I want to do business with this person, right? And this is whether or not is this going to be worth the time or not? Then I might put them at a 3, 4, or 5, somewhere in there, depending on the level that they are. So, and if they're truly crazy, I just put them in a 1 or a 0 and I don't want to deal with them ever again, but they're there in case I need to send out newsletters and information, right? So, because they may end up with funds at some point.
Right.
So that's kind of how I would look at your fields, if you will, when you set it up, is setting them up in terms of leads, how hot or how cold they are. And once you have that, that becomes your priority list of what you're following up on all the time. And then when you convert them, then they can become the opportunities. Now you know that they're past the point of worth it or not worth it. It's like they're legit and these are good opportunities.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, from a sales tracking standpoint, I think the really important part, and you tell me if I'm off base here a little bit, Lane, but I think one of the more important things in sales tracking is being able to see big picture where you are against your goal. So if you've set goals, where are you against that, whether that's by month, by quarter, or by year? And which would you, if you had to pick one, which would you measure against?
Well, based on one of our previous conversations, approaching every quarter as if it's a year, I think we have to go by quarter.
Wow, I'm impressed. Somebody's been listening to the podcast. I like it. I know. No, I would too. Yes, I would say quarterly is a good way to go for the quarter because it really gets you motivated to say, if this is my year, I got to hit this number in this quarter. It becomes really urgent, and I would even venture to break down into weekly. If I had a choice, because I would say, how much do I need to get in each week? Knowing I have flexibility, but not as much as I think, right? So having that dashboard is really important to know where you are versus the other. Win-loss, the other thing I think is really important to know is what percent of the conversations that you have that have gotten to the opportunity level, they've been vetted enough, you could do business with them, they have the funds. Did you win the project or did you not win the project? That is an interesting number to measure. And a lot of people think they know it, but when you really push on it, they don't really know the exact numbers and what percentage is win and what percentage is lost. And even over time, like in the first quarter, I tend to lose more, less, or about the same as in the second quarter, and so on. And if you start to know that, you'll know, hey, my goal in second quarter is too high because May, just for whatever reason every year, dives. And I didn't know that. And so maybe I need to boost up third quarter and make second quarter shorter so that I'm in line with where I need to be, and know that in third quarter, I need to go after it. And in second quarter, I'm building, I'm planting seeds and I'm building stuff. So when I know that I'm going to have a slow season, or I know I'm going to have go into a slow month, what I'll do is I'll start to think about what are all the activities that I can do now that's going to drive a lead 1, 2, 3, 6 months later. If I know that I'm going to go out networking, or I'm going to make cold calls, or I'm going to go follow up on emails that are a little bit older and say, hey, did you ever get that figured out? Because they just disappeared on me. Sometimes that happens where they come back. I've called old emails or old prospects, so to speak, old leads, to figure out where they are. And sometimes they come back to life. So during those months, those are really important times to start to work on looking at forward momentum in today's world, right? In today's time.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that a lot of people understand with sales tracking. So would that be something you would use, do you think, sales tracking?
I think I would. Yeah. I think that's definitely worth having and seeing those patterns over time and understanding what your busy times of the year are, your lean months are, and whatnot.
Yeah. And I think that's always helpful for folks based on everything we just kind of went through and all the different elements that's in this Aptivo piece. Is this, do you think this was helpful? Did you get something out of this? Was this helpful for you?
I think it's helpful because for me, it helped me understand that I really do need to use Aptivo or something like that rather than a possibly subpar plugin for my other platform. But I also think it's beneficial because you spoke about parts of this that I probably wouldn't have myself thought of, with this, you know, the win loss and things like that, that I should be tracking. And that's probably why I need to go with the professional application rather than a plugin, because there is more benefit there.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear that. So that makes me feel better.
Yeah, I'm curious if this has helped anyone else out there who's listening. If it has, please drop us an email, tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us. You know, we're out there.
We are. Not very much. I mean, you know, but we do pay attention. So, and the other thing is if you have questions, just, you know, drop us a line, one of those same things. We want to be able to answer your questions as well. I know that some questions are out there that have not been answered by us yet, and we've got a whole bunch of stuff to still go through, but we absolutely appreciate you listening because it means a lot when we know we can help somebody in their sale. I get nothing out of this. I don't have to, we don't sell sales. This is what works for us. And we want to make sure that you get something out of it as well. All right. So let's wrap it up then, Lane. Until next time.
Until next time.
We'll see you
later.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.